Okay, it's time to commit. 2024 is the year for prioritizing yourself. Begin your new smile journey with Byte, and you could start seeing results in just 2 to 3 weeks. Just order your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95 at Byte.com. Byte clear liners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer financing options, accept eligible insurance, and you could pay with your HSA, FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Welcome to the Saints Happy Hour Podcast with host Ralph Malbro and featuring bloggers Andrew Juge of SaintsNation.com, Kevin Held of The Team Drops the Ball, and Dave Cariello of Canal Street Chronicles. This podcast is nothing but serious football talk and hardcore analysis.
Which four of you would survive the longest in the zombie apocalypse, and in which order would you die?
Well, Ralph, no offense, you're going first.
Oh, definitely. No.
The zombies would smell Dave's sugar blood and target him.
They'd get him.
I don't even have a joke, Dave smells like nougat.
Now here's your host, Ralph Malbro.
All right, welcome to Saints Happy Hour Podcast. As always, we are sponsored by JLD Hot Sauces and Knives. Guys, they got the best hot sauce. Their award-winning hot sauce, Bootjolica, comes in hot, extra hot, my personal favorite, and Thai flavors. They also have Reaper Madness Special Reserve, made with Reaper Pepper from Carolina. And for the brave, Dave, you can get the Death Shot. It has the extract of 10 Reaper chilies in each 1 ounce bottle. Give that to your friends. Watch their face melt off. JLD has the highest quality handmade knives you'll find anywhere, including ones for hunting, fishing, and cooking. Go to JLDSharpSauce.com. Use the code SAINTS. Get 10% off your order today. That's JLDSharpSauce.com.
This is like the hot sauce of, this is like the Drew Brees of hot sauces.
It is like the Drew Brees of hot sauces. So Andrew is MIA. He'll filter in here eventually. So Dave, you were at the game yesterday. Before we get to the atmosphere, which we were talking about before the show that you said was amazing, before we get to that, what to you was funnier? Was it funnier that they gave Drew Brees a laminated certificate like he had just completed an online quilting class when he broke the record? Or was it funnier that they flagged the Saints for excessive celebration when they stopped the game?
I mean, it's ridiculous that they flag the Saints for excessive celebration. There's nothing funny about that.
It was
absolutely absurd.
It was funny because they were up 26-6.
Yeah. But no, it was – I mean, like, seriously, what is – I mean, is Drew, like, supposed to just go home and, I guess, just put that on the mantle, I guess? I don't know, above the fireplace.
Billion-dollar industry could come up with something better.
Yeah, it's really funny. I know. It's, I mean, a plaque, maybe something engraved, you know, would have been a little bit nicer.
Our magnet that we give people if they donate $3.28 for 7 months is better quality than the laminated certificate that the referee handed Breeze last night. I'm just saying.
A Saints Happy Hour Podcast t-shirt is better.
You know, the t-shirt is way better. Way better. So how was the atmosphere last night? It seemed amazing on the TV.
Yeah, no, it was good. It was good. It was awesome, actually. You know, it's a Monday night game, so everybody's a little liquored up, a little bit more than usual than a noon game. Myself included, I was partaking. I was enjoying myself responsibly, of course. And it was wild. It was loud. It was nice to know that, it was almost definitely going to happen that night. You know, it was just a question of whether it was going to happen, you know, in the second quarter or the third quarter. And of course, obviously it happened. I think it took a lot less time than I thought it was going to take.
It took a little bit less. I'm like, I figured it would take like right at the end of the half or right at the beginning of the third quarter.
I didn't.
When they were hitting bombs early, I was like, oh man, this is going to get wrapped up quick.
Yeah. And I mean, I would have gotten my phone ready. I would have taken a video, you know, assuming that he was going to just sort of inch closer to the number. You know,
oh, props to. I was going to say props to patron John Murphy. He was at the game, and he got a fantastic fucking shot. It's on the Saints Happy Hour Twitter feed. If you go there, you can find it. I retweeted it. It's just an awesome shot. Traquan Smith just runs right by him. It's fantastic.
Oh, I got to check that out. I'll check that out right now. Yeah, I wasn't, you know, I didn't expect them to get it all in one big chunk with one touchdown.
Yeah, you weren't expecting Washington to just blow a fucking coverage wide open and have four dudes just running free.
So it was great. It was great. You know, this is the first time we've had like Booger McFarlane and that Monday Night Football crew. So, you know,
they're
bad. I really don't enjoy it. I really don't. I want to like Jason Witten, but I just I can't.
I want to like I like
Tony Romo.
I like Booger. I feel like Booger at least will say things that are negative and interesting every once in a while. Jason Witten, I do not understand for the life of me why ESPN was so desperate to get him. He is so fucking horribly boring. I wish they would just pump in music instead of Jason Witten.
Yeah, whatever. The Saints are 4-1.
There he is. There he is.
Hey, all I gotta say is I fucking spent all day on Twitter fucking euphoric about what was going on in Saints land, and I had to read about all these motherfuckers putting down Drew Brees.
Wow, he's
fucking
salty.
That he's
salty.
Not top 10, that it's not that his stats are not that impressive, that he's just fucking hoarding numbers. Are you kidding me?
I know. It's like they didn't watch the Saints in 2012 and 2015, and they don't realize that the Saints needed every motherfucking one of those yards that Drew Brees threw for to get to
today.
7 wins.
I tweeted this today, and I'm going to say it anyway.
I love it.
Say
it.
If you don't follow me on Twitter, then you need to hear this. My grandkids one day are going to ask me about Drew Brees, and I'm going to show them tape of the Steve Spagnuolo 2012 defense, and I'm going to show them tape of Brandon Browner in 2015, and then I'm going to tell them Drew Brees had to play with that, and he won 7 games. Forget Super Bowls. Forget MVPs. Forget Pro Bowls. Forget the record books. He won.
This is it. We've got an Amex Platinum Pro on our hands, ladies and gentlemen. We haven't seen anyone relax like this before in the Centurion Lounge. Is he connecting to complimentary Wi-Fi? Oh, my. Look at that. He is. And you will not believe where he's going next. The Amex dedicated card member entrance for the win. Unbelievable.
When you get travel perks with Amex Platinum, you're part of the action. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/withAmex.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search. Match with Indeed. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/match. Just go to Indeed.com/match right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/match. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
seven games with the worst fucking defense you have ever seen in your life. Exhibit A of why he's the greatest. Case closed.
It's funny. It's funny listening to Atlanta people bitch about their defense being terrible and injured and making excuses. I'm like, I don't want to hear it, you bunch of assholes. We lived it. So, Andrew...
it's too bad we couldn't have had that rant in crystal clear audio.
Well, to be fair, this is an audio situation. This is not of my doing, which is usually the reason we have audio. Andrew has audio issues because, one, he just got off the tennis court. He probably beat some 55-year-old woman to tears. But second of all, he doesn't have Wi-Fi at his house yet. He just moved into a new house. He's not going to have Wi-Fi till 2019, I think. So Andrew might have issues with the audio, but he doesn't sound any. He sounds better than I sounded when I was trying to fix the soundboard, and I sounded like I was talking with a snorkel under the water. Andrew just sounds like he's on a
phone.
That's
not saying much.
No, right. Well, that's true. So Andrew, are you also going to gloat about your Traquan Smith prediction?
Yeah,
the people
well,
that aren't patrons.
Wait. Yeah, so wait, did the patrons, are they the only ones that heard my prediction?
I think so. I forgot
okay,
if that
so,
episode was
so
free
you
or
should
not.
Go ahead and rewind. Like, Ralph, if you were a good host, you would go ahead and play the tape. But
I know, but I'm not.
I said before the game in our pregame, and if you spend $1, that's all it takes is one measly little dollar. But
yeah.
If you spend $1, then you can hear me basically say, that Ted Ginn is out. This is the Traquan Smith coming out party. I said those words. I said that he was going to get 100 yards.
I can vouch for that.
They were going to get him over the top a couple times, and he was going to get a couple touchdowns, and that is exactly what happened.
So, Dave, your boyfriend was back again.
My boyfriend's back, and he's better than ever.
He looked pretty.
For Carrie,
I thought he was pretty good.
My boyfriend's back.
He looked good. But Dave, do you feel like he's going to break? He's going to break the Deuce rushing record, and we're going to get that celebration like in December. Because
first of all, I'm actually very mad at Mark Ingram right now because I was tied up in my fantasy matchup going into Monday night, and I had Kamara, and my opponent had Ingram.
Ooh.
So I wound up losing that one.
I benched the Saints defense because I was winning by 3.5 points, and my opponent had already played everybody, so I had to bench the Saints defense because with the Saints defense, the negative number is always in play. So I sat
him. Dave, if it's true love, you would offer Kamara for Ingram at this point.
Well, yeah, obviously I'm happy to have Ingram back, and it's nice. It's nice that the Saints. I think one of you guys said it. It's nice that the Saints can put up 40 plus points.
They put up 40. They put up 43.
Not even need to use Kamara.
And not only did they put up 43, Andrew, they fucking coasted. 243. There's one thing if you put up 40. They could have scored 60 if they'd have wanted to. They really eased it off.
They did.
I think this is when the offense, like, it was good before Ingram was here. But, like, now when you look at Ingram being in the offense and Taysom Hill and Traquan Smith, and now Cam Meredith is making plays, and I don't even think they really need Ted Ginn right now, honestly. And I think you look at what this offense is doing, like they're starting to fire on all cylinders. This is starting to feel like an offense where, hey, you want to take away Marcus Colston, you want to take away Jimmy Graham, you want to take away now present day, you want to take away Kamara, you want to take away Mike Thomas, no problem. We've got Cam Meredith, we've got Traquan Smith, we've got Taysom Hill, we've got other playmakers. And it's just one of those, it's starting to feel like this offense where Breeze is not reliant on pumping the ball to Sproles or Jimmy Graham or Brandon Cooks incessantly, and he doesn't care. He's like, I'm going to throw to the open dude, and we have so many playmakers on the field that they can all hurt you badly.
We need to talk about Michael Thomas. He got into it on Twitter today.
What was the deal with the ski mask? Why was he wearing this? I saw live when I was at the stadium. They showed him, and I saw him run out with the ski mask, and I was like, Michael Thomas just ran out with the ski mask. What the hell is going on?
In the off season, like during training camp, he made the observation that this is ski mask season, which I think implies.
Oh, right. I remember that.
That he is a bank robber and that he's going to get a bunch of money based on the way he plays this year.
It's basically
saying like it's a contract year for him.
Right.
So he
went at Josh Norman, which was great because Josh Norman said a bunch of stuff and then he deleted it. And then Mike Thomas was like, you deleted it. That's bullshit. I think that makes it official, Dave, that like Michael Thomas, I don't know that he's a diva receiver, the first diva receiver the Saints have ever had, but he's definitely in that mold of receivers that want to be stars, they want to be noticed. He ain't fucking Colston. He's more like Joe Horn. Like, he wants to be a star. He wants to be noticed. He clowned Josh Norman for getting benched. And Josh Norman, by the way, was literally crying on the sideline.
Wait, was he really? Literally?
Yeah, he was literally crying. Mike Thomas was like,
tears rolling out of his eyes.
Play your role. LOL. You don't even have no clout to chase. I didn't do nothing but punk you all day and watch you bust coverages all game and cost your team. So who am really a clown? And I'm going to bully you every time I see you just so you know. Smiley face. Woman kneeling in the Zen position. Peace symbol. hashtag SIS.
I like your descriptions of all the emojis.
Yeah. I love it. I mean it's great for the podcast, but like that's not a Peyton character, though.
Yeah.
But if you're going to catch 180 balls, you can do whatever you want. But I guess, Dave, like, where's the line? Like, where's the line that Michael Thomas can go to that even Sean Payton will be like, whoa, 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 whoa. Bring it back, buddy. We can do the bonk gang, and you can tweet, and you can do your ski mask and all that. But where's the line that he can't cross that Sean Payton will tell him to dial it back?
I mean, I would say anything that would potentially affect the game.
Well, the first 2 weeks of the season, he was fumbling like a fucking idiot.
But that's on-field stuff. But, I mean, as far as off-field stuff, I mean, you know, I would probably say he'd probably get yelled at if, you know, he's doing something that's going to give their opponent that week, extra motivation, you know?
I would say as long as he doesn't get flagged for something dumb, he'll be okay.
I think he can talk all the shit he wants. My thing about Mike Thomas is, you know me, Ralph. Like, I don't love the trash talking, especially after the game. Like, in between first downs or whatever. But like, I'm fine with that. But like, on Twitter after the game, with the media, I'm just not a big fan. I think it's a distraction. I think it's poor judgment. I think it's just, you know, move on, focus on the next game or whatever. So I'm gonna be honest. Like, I'm not a huge fan of the whole Twitter thing. And what Mike Thomas did here. But I will say that Josh Norman, and this goes back to when he was with the Panthers, he has been notorious. And I know the Saints almost signed him or tried to sign him, but he's been notorious for talking shit. He's constantly been critical of the Saints, Sean Payton. And so, you know what? He got put in his place. And the Redskins smoked. And there's no one in the NFL. I mean, you know, they're – Roddy White, you know, I put Josh Norman up there, Cam Newton. I put him up there with the handful of players where I just love it when the Saints kick their ass. And, you know, he deserves it. So I was glad to see Mike Thomas put him in his place, not only on the field, but after the game. So I give Mike Thomas a pass. But in general, I don't love it. I don't want to see him make a habit of this. I prefer the hashtag SHHHHH. I prefer that. And I would rather he keep his mouth shut, keep performing, and let his play do the talking. That's just me.
Dave, we got it moving today, the Drew Brees for MVP talk. And I think last night what he did really – this is going to be his best shot, I think, to get the MVP. I know Mahomes is rolling.
Which is ridiculous. At 38 years old, 39 years old, it's ridiculous.
Well, no, it is ridiculous, but I think this is really going to be his best shot because I know Mahomes is rolling, but Mahomes has an interception.
But wait, didn't you hear Chris Sims? Kirk Cousins is better. Matt Ryan, get the fuck out of here with that. Did you not hear Matt Kellerman today on ESPN First Take tell us that Jim Kelly? I can't hear this at all.
Andrew. Andrew ran it off. It sounded like he was drowning. And I think we lost him. Like, I literally can imagine Andrew in the water, his head bobbing up and down, yelling about Breeze, and him drowning as he's yelling obscenities at Chris Sims. Andrew, are you there?
I'm here.
Yeah, that's way better.
There we go.
So do your rant again about Chris Sims, because we didn't hear a fucking word of it.
Well, it's not just Chris Sims. I mean, Chris Sims says that Kirk Cousins is better and that Matt Ryan is the third best quarterback in the NFL right now. By the way,
what are they saying to back this up?
Beat his ass.
Nothing. They say nothing to back it up. They just say it.
They just say it. They say that Drew Brees is a stat patter. That Sean Payton is responsible for why he's good.
Okay.
I mean, the thing is, somebody did an analysis of Drew Brees, and they tried to figure out, like, of the quarterbacks with all the passing yards, like, who did the most stat padding? And Brees did a little bit more, but the stat padding that they supposedly did, it's so minuscule. It was like, for Brees, it was under 2,000 yards. For Brady, it was like under 12. Like, it's a minuscule amount of stat padding yards. It's just something people say that they have nothing to, like, no, you know?
My problem is that the target keeps moving. Tom Montana and Tom Brady and Troy Aikman, they're clearly better because they won more Super Bowls, right?
But then rings, when you go to Brett
Favre, Favre only won one Super Bowl, but he's better. Trust me. And Kurt Warner only won one Super Bowl, but he's better. Trust me. And all these quarterbacks that only won one Super Bowl, they're better because I said. And Jim Kelly, he didn't win a Super Bowl, but he's better because he went to four. Like, it's like the rules of engagement keep changing depending on the guy you name. To slight Brees. It's fucking unbelievable.
You know, and here's my theory on that, Dave, and you can jump in and shoot it down. My theory on the expert, supposedly, NFL Network, or any former player that's a talking head that says things about Brees, my theory on why they knock Brees is they look at Brees and see a 5'10" dude that throws for a bunch of yards, and they think to themselves, he's not really a great athlete. I was a great athlete. Favre was a great athlete. You know, Aikman was big and tall. Brady is big and tall. You have to be that to be great, to be alpha, to be a great quarterback. And they hold it against Brees that he's a 5'10" nothing dude.
That is the most ridiculous thing I've ever heard. There is no way that is happening. There's no way that there are people out there, there are quote-unquote, as you say, experts, that believe or that are on a slight Drew Brees, literally because of his short stature. That's not possible.
What would be the other reason? They're not really using facts. They're moving the goalposts wherever they want them.
I mean, let's use their argument. Okay, yes, Drew Brees is smaller. He can't possibly be good. Or as good as Brady or Aikman or whatever, because he's not as tall, he's not as big, whatever. That's counterintuitive. If Drew Brees accomplished everything he accomplished while being small, he has to be that much more athletic and that much greater than all these guys who had the physical advantages to begin with.
I mean, for me, another popular argument is that he's not the best of the passing era, that, you know, that one era ago, Brady and Manning were one and two, and Brees was kind of number three behind them, and now it's kind of Brady and Rodgers, and Brees is number three behind them.
Well, what the fuck? If you're going to do it by passing era, where the numbers...
Brees played Peyton Manning in a Super Bowl, and he
beat him.
Handed him his ass. In case we forgot that. The second thing is, why is Aaron Rodgers better? Why? Like, why do we say that? Like, can you present something statistically or just in terms of sheer numbers that substantiates the fact that Aaron Rodgers is better than Drew Brees? Because, you know what? I'm not even saying he's not, but there's a case to be made that Drew Brees is better than Aaron Rodgers.
Matt, Aaron Rodgers is better than Drew Brees because Mike McCarthy's head is filled with caramel, and he's a terrible coach, and Aaron Rodgers won him a Super Bowl. That's why Aaron Rodgers is better than Drew Brees.
Aaron Rodgers isn't even in the same league as Drew Brees.
I think Mike McCarthy's a terrible fucking coach. That, you know.
His head is filled with caramel.
Here's the thing with the Packers. Here's the thing with the Saints. Even though their defense is terrible, at least you can say Sean Payton has maximized Drew Brees' greatness and allowed him to be as good as he can be. McCarthy, I watch the Packers, like, he just doesn't get. It's like making Jimi Hendrix play acoustic with Aaron Rodgers. But that's, we don't give a shit about the Packers. So, but that's my argument why Aaron Rodgers is better. Andrew, have we seen the last of Ted Ginn? I feel like Tre'Quan Smith might take that receiver job and never fucking give it back.
I don't know that we've seen the last of him, but yeah. I mean, we have a younger player that looked pretty damn good in that game, and I just think we're at the point with Tre'Quan where he's ready to break out. He just needs the opportunity. So, you know, I still think there's going to be times this year where Ted Ginn is going to be needed and he's going to play, but, like, right now he's banged up and he has the knee issue, and I just think when you look at Ted Ginn, like, they don't need to rush him back. Like, they have a suitable replacement and a player that can fill in and be more than adequate, so I think it's one of those things now where it's like, unless you're 100% and you're ready to play, we're good. We don't need you. So I do think he'll make a play this year. I do think he'll come back, but I just don't think they need to force it. He can stay out for as long as needed.
Dave, the defense was amazing yesterday, and thank God that Justin Hardy didn't return that interception for a touchdown, because I think the happiness in the Superdome would have broke the time-space continuum and we'd all be dead. But that pass rush, Dave, last night...
Should you play the Taysom Hill hype train, by the way, since he scored a touchdown?
You mean that?
Yes.
Okay, so before we get to the defense, I totally forgot about Taysom Hill. Dave, Taysom Hill was awesome, but I feel like he's not really running the read option that great. Am I crazy?
No, they were talking about how there was one play where he kept it instead of what, giving it to Kamara, and
Kamara would have walked in.
Yeah, 50 yards. Walked in. So yeah, I think you're definitely have a valid point. I mean, you know, he wants to be the playmaker. He wants to make the play, and I mean, usually he can, but there are times where there's going to be a better play.
Yeah, I mean, but he still hasn't. I think there's still a lot to be done, and they're not gonna bust that out when they're up 26-6 and they're rolling. But that's the final thought on the offense. But the defense, Dave, the pass rush was fucking phenomenal. I think it was their. I know they only got 3 sacks, but I feel like the pass rush was the best it's been all year.
Yeah, I mean, it's like we've been saying, you know, what we want to see from this team, you know, especially from the defense, is every week we want to see them improve and get better. And I think we're definitely seeing that, definitely with the pass rush. Sheldon Rankins got on the board with a sack yesterday. You don't usually see him doing that. Marcus Davenport, obviously getting another sack, so that's like 2 for him now. And
feeling a little better about the draft class.
Yeah, of course, right? Obviously, especially since you traded, you know, away some picks to get that. You know, if I think we probably would all agree, if Marcus Davenport is going to become the player we thought he was going to be and be an awesome bookend on the other side of Cam Jordan, which would be a big difference maker, then it was probably worth it. So, and so far, so good. Everything's heading in the right direction. So,
well,
look, when Lattimore was injured, I was ready to pull my hair out. Yeah, I mean, I was ready to pull my hair out, and I said, "Oh shit, this is a big deal." And it was obvious it was going to be a concussion. I mean, he hit helmets with another guy. I don't even remember who it was on our
Klein.
Team. Yeah. I mean, fortunately, the Saints have a bye next week, so that helps us because, I mean, surely he's going to be going through. He probably would have missed next week's game if we had one. You know, I said, well, crap. And then PJ Williams goes down. Fortunately, he came back, but, I mean, that's like, you know, there's nobody behind those guys at this point. But, I mean, Justin Hardy, I mean, who would have thought? I mean, obviously the interception, but, I mean, like, he, you know, even in coverage, he was playing pretty damn well.
No, he was hanging in there,
I mean,
you know?
So the only caveat to any of this, I would say, is that it's the Redskins, and that's not necessarily a tough challenge. I mean, the Saints after the bye, we're about to beat Baltimore and the Rams and the Eagles and the
Vikings.
Well,
Baltimore's offense is ass too. Don't kid yourself. But I mean, thing about the Redskins, though, Andrew, and before we'll get to Alex Smith, but here's the thing about Davenport, and I said this on the Patrons podcast, and I'll say it again here. I made the crazy prediction that by December, Green Bay is going to they're going to wish they had Marcus Davenport instead of the Saints 2019 pick. I look at Davenport, and look, you can't project injuries or anything like that, but I look at him, and I'm convinced, Andrew, after 5 weeks, it ain't a matter of if. It's just a matter of when that dude is going to start wrecking shit.
Well, we talked about what his ceiling was, and, you know, we preached patience and, you know, reminded everyone this offseason that Cam Jordan had 1 sack his rookie year. And so you asked me this offseason, you said, you know, what's a realistic ceiling for Davenport his rookie year? Like, what's the best case scenario? And I said very plainly, you know, that I didn't really feel like double digit sack season was in the cards for him. Just because he's raw, he's going to need time to task. And so, you know, what I told you at the time when that question was asked to me months ago was that, you know, if he can do well in practice and flash a little bit in games, that maybe by week 4, week 5, he's starting, you know, that he gets the get. And sure enough, week 5 against the Redskins, he started over Okafor. And so now we're starting to see him play on more downs because he's been flashing and because he's been showing some improvement and just some ability. And so now, he's getting on the field more, and he's getting an opportunity to show his stuff, and he's playing better. And so I told you if that happened, then I could see the light kind of turn on by the second quarter of the season, maybe the second half of the season, and that maybe he gets to six, six and a half, seven, maybe eight sacks, and that was the ceiling. Well, so far, I think the ceiling is kind of playing out. So I still think the ceiling for him is maybe six, seven sacks this year, maybe eight. But that would be a great thing, especially because it's going to be back half loaded. And yeah. I kind of feel like right now, like it's looking like it's headed that way if he stays healthy.
Yeah, and that so
like
is... that
for his rookie, you see, now you know, next year and future years, like I absolutely think double-digit sacks is in play. But I'm just talking about right now this season. Like I think the cards are kind of setting up for the best-case scenario his rookie year.
Yeah, and that is the Saints' hot take of the week. It is sponsored by JLD Hot Sauce and Knives. Guys, they got the best hot sauce. Their award-winning hot sauce, Bucholica, comes in hot, extra hot, my personal favorite, and Thai flavors. Go to JLDSharpSauce.com and use the code SAINTS. Get 10% off your order today. That's JLDSharpSauce.com. Hot take of the week, see? So, here's the thing, Andrew. They wrecked Alex Smith. And I want you and Dave to talk about this. But I felt like there was a moment, and I hadn't seen that in a while, where the Saints turned a competent quarterback that Alex Smith was at the beginning of the game. They had the nice drive. They turned him from that into an incompetent basket case. And can either of you remember a Saints doing that to a quarterback in a game?
Turning a decent quarterback into a
basket
case?
Like a quarterback, they start out decent, and by the end of the game, they're a fucking basket case. Because that's what Alex Smith was by the end of the game.
I mean, you know, I partied hard in college, so my memory is not as good as y'all's. But I know for a fact that we've done that. I don't know. Hell, Tom Brady. They benched Tom Brady Super Bowl season.
That's true.
But I certainly think there's more recent examples.
Andrew, can you think of any? I was trying to think of some.
Sorry, examples of what?
A quarterback that started out the game well, but by the end, the Saints had turned them into a basket case. Because that's what Alex Smith...
Oh, because if you're going to say a Saints quarterback, I could name a lot of them.
How long is this show?
If it's an opponent quarterback that started hot and by the end was kind of... Yeah, that's a tough one. I mean, I feel like Cam Newton has had games like that against...
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah, Cam Newton's probably the one guy that comes to mind where, like, by the end, it's just like, God, what is wrong with him? And, you know, the first couple drives, maybe he was decent. But, you know, I think what was most impressive about this game, and you look at how bad Alex Smith was at the end, it's one of those things where he's a pro. He's been in the league for a long time. He's a guy that, in general, doesn't have accuracy issues. I was really surprised. I mean, they really rattled him. And I think if we take encouragement from this and how well Sheldon Rankins has been playing and how Davenport is ascending and Cam Jordan is Cam Jordan, they got to him. They affected him. And we started to see opportunities down the field where he was just missing throws. And receivers weren't wide open, but there was a play to be made there, and he was missing the throw. And in week one against Fitzpatrick, he was so comfortable back there that every throw was being made. And even if there was a small window, he was fitting it in there and completing it. Whereas, like, I felt like Alex Smith, it was the exact opposite. He couldn't fit it in that window to save his life. And
well, here's the thing.
I mean, even with a veteran like that, you hit him enough times, you affect him enough times, and it throws him off his game. So, you know, that's highly encouraging.
Yeah, Dave, I know you guys don't watch Game of Thrones, but I feel like Marcus Davenport is like a White Walker, and I feel like the moment where he nearly murdered Alex Smith, I feel like that's the moment where Alex Smith started to go downhill last night. Am I crazy to think that?
No, totally justified. But I don't know what the hell a White Walker is. So.
It's like a zombie thing in Game of Thrones. But here's the thing, like Alex Smith, like Washington, they don't have the person. If you're going to beat the Saints in 2018, Andrew, I feel like you got to have, whether it's wide receivers or tight ends or running backs or whatever, you got to have dudes that can make big chunk plays. And Washington didn't have fucking any of those. They were starting 900-year-old Adrian Peterson, who, by the way, dislocated his shoulder. Which Kevin was super excited about last night on the Patron show. Very excited. So, but are we getting to the point, Andrew, where we believe in this defense as far as the run? I'm to the point where I believe in the run defense. Do you believe in the run defense?
I do. And I'm starting to just believe that they're getting better every week. And it's one of those things where when the offense is playing this well, and you've got young, talented players that through 3 weeks were, I mean, to put it kind of bluntly, we're just kind of fucking up, you know? But they care, and they're invested because the team's 4-1, and they're playing for something bigger than themselves. And I just you see it. They're getting better every week. They've bought in. And I mean, Breeze is the master of saying this. I mean, it's always been his mantra. You're never stay the same. You're either getting better or you're getting worse. And I just feel like there's talented players on defense that have bought in and they're working to get better every week. And so until and unless the Saints stop winning or someone in the locker room goes Junior Gallette and blows things up and messes with the chemistry, until that happens, I just think there's great synergy right now. The locker room is at a great place. I think psychologically, you know, the coaching staff is got a hold on these guys and they're working hard. And so I just look at that and I look at the talent that this defense has. And I just think they're only going to get better. I think the Saints are scratching the surface. We just saw their best game of the season against the Redskins and they kicked their teeth in, but that's a weaker opponent than what they're going to face. They're going to face the Vikings, the Eagles, the Rams, the Panthers twice. I mean, these are going to be tougher teams than these last couple weeks and these impressive wins they've had. But, you know, I keep going back to these garbage wins they had. A garbage win against the Browns where they played like shit. And a garbage win against the Falcons where the defense did nothing. You know, but when you win games like that, it gives you a chance later in the season. Here the Saints sit 4-1. Despite really 3 weeks of not showing up, at least in some phases of the game. And, you know, if you can just grind those out and find a way, it gives you a chance. And so now as we go into these games and the Saints are in first place at 4-1, games that matter, you just feel the confidence starting to rise and the team starting to play better. Hey, look, the Rams and the Chiefs look scary, but, you know, I can't tell you how many times I've seen these kinds of teams start fast. They have a major injury, and they start to regress big time as the season progresses. Well, I think the Saints started slow, and they're starting to ascend.
The Rams, their front half of their roster is awesome, but the middle and the bottom are garbage. They can't sustain, in my opinion, another offensive line injury or an injury at linebacker or another injury at corner. Like the Saints... Granted, Teron Armstead is playing great. If he's healthy, the Saints' offensive line is amazing. But if he gets nicked and misses a time, the Saints can slide Pete out. They have options along that offensive line. The Rams do not. So they have the Rams' roster, I think, is more fragile than the Saints, if that makes sense. But
yeah,
Dave,
top heavy.
Dave, we got a clown on Atlanta. They are fucking dreadful. And I thought Carolina was going to regress, and maybe they are. They got there lucky as fuck. The dude kicked it from 63 on grass. It would have been good from like 75. But how surprised are you that Atlanta is just a dumpster fire? on defense at least.
Well, I mean, I'm not really surprised. I mean, they lost Keanu Neal and Deion Jones. And I think that those two guys were fairly important to their defense, and they haven't been able to replace them. And, you know, I think the Falcons are actually currently in a situation similar to, you know, what the Saints have been in the past. I mean, some of these games that they've lost, they could have easily won. They could have gone the other way. It's just been bad luck, bad bounces, whatever, bad coaching, bad plays, whatever. You know, they barely lost to the Saints. You know, they took us to overtime, and they lost at the last second to the Bengals. Obviously, now at this point, their loss against Pittsburgh getting blown out, I think that's just now that's just a symptom of everything else that's happened to them prior to that. You know, now they're just in their heads. Now it's mental also.
Andrew, do you think the Atlanta, because we you know, I joked on Twitter and I even tweeted out this the Spider-Man meme where the two Spider-Mans are pointing at each other. It's like the 2018 Atlanta and 2015 Saints are pointing at each other. They're the exact same. But those Saints teams, as bad as they were on defense right in 2012 and 2015, even at the bottom, like we you know, they hit rock bottom, the 2015 Saints, when they went to Philadelphia, right, and they got their face kicked in by Sam Bradford, and they were 1-4, and we're like, oh my God, they're 1-4, maybe this is the year where the floor falls out and they don't go 7-9. But do you think Atlanta's, because their offense is so good, do you think they're going to get, not that they're going to turn it around and go 11-5 or whatever, but do you think they're going to get that little 2015 Saints bounce where they're going to turn it around, they're going to get to 4-4 and 4 or 5-5, and then their defense is going to go back to sucking and they're going to get their hearts broken? Do you think they're going to get a bounce, or are they going to be like 4-12 bad?
I don't know, but I'll tell you this. I will be impressed if the Falcons bounce back and get to 7-9, because that will tell me a lot about the moxie of their locker room. You know, I think when you start losing, it's very easy to quit. And that's one thing about these Breeze teams that have had horrific defenses and bounced back to just kind of middle, you know, in the 500 category and or just under mediocre level football. And, you know, it's not that they were good, but it's that they never quit. And I, you know, as bad as those defenses were, and as a fan, as painful as that was to watch, I had a lot of respect for how hard they played, you know, being bad football teams and just grinding their way to 7-9, you know, draft pick be damned, contract year staying healthy be damned or whatever. And I really think, you know, you can criticize the coaching and the play of the players for having a bad year, but ultimately, like, I think it's a credit to the coaching staff and the players to keep trying. And so if the Falcons go 7-9, like, I'm not going to lie, like, that's actually going to be a little concerning to me, because it's going to show me that Matt Ryan and these guys have bought in and they're playing for Quinn and they're not going to quit. And I think that's huge. Now, if they go 3-13 and Julio Jones acts like a punk and guys start quitting on them, then that tells me that they're chumps. And the minute chips are down, the Falcons fold. And that's what I think is going to happen. I think they're going to be 5-11, 4-12, because quite frankly, like, they're just going to start making excuses for the fact that their defense is garbage, and they're going to accept who they are. And that's what I expect to happen. So if the Falcons go 7-9, like, I'm actually, as much as I hate them, I'm going to make the statement right now that will impress me very much and actually concern me.
And here's the thing. And I wrote a column in 2015 on WWL, the Saints in 2015 were 5-9, and Drew Brees had plantar fasciitis, and they were 5-9, and they signed Matt Flynn, and that was like the red flag that Grayson was terrible, right? Because the Saints were 5-9, and Grayson was so bad that they were like, if Brees can't play, we cannot put Grayson under center because he's embarrassed.
They won the last two games. They ripped the Jaguars to shreds.
Yeah,
I remember.
Because Brees was like, I don't care. I'm playing. I don't care. And that's the thing. Like, Brees could have been like, you know what? My foot hurts. We're 5-9. Do whatever you got to do. I'm not risking it. But he went and played and fucking did it, and they grinded it out to 7-9, right? We'll see what Atlanta can do. But Dave, if Atlanta is a dumpster fire, then the Saints absolutely must beat them on Thanksgiving, no matter what, correct? Like, if they're a 4-12 disaster, then the Thanksgiving game becomes a must win because we must humiliate them with maximum carnage. Is this correct?
This is correct. However,
it's a must to beat them regardless.
Right, but this is the Falcons, and you know, even if they were 1-12 or whatever, they can always find a way to beat the Saints. I mean, that's just the way it is. You know, the big brother, little brother. Every now and then, the little brother sometimes just kicks the big brother right in the nuts and runs out of the room. sometimes you just get kicked.
Like, you're nuts. Speaking from experience there, Dave.
I was the little brother. I had two very much older brothers growing up.
Yeah, so look,
I've done that before.
The Saints do not have a game this week, but you're going to be gambling on other games. And if you gamble, go to mybookie.com, use Saints, use Happy 25, get an extra $25 on your deposit if you do it after 8 p.m. Eastern. Mybookie.com, they're the best. You bet, you win, MyBookie pays you. Go to mybookie.com. How was that segue, guys? That was,
yeah, that was practically nice.
Practically a professional. So because
the Saints have a bye week, but no bye week for this podcast.
No, that's why we keep rolling, baby. We roll every fucking week. We trudge through 7-9s. We trudge through Bounty Gate. We do it all. That's why we're fucking number one on Saints podcast. That's why we are fucking number, because we give it every week. Even when they don't have any draft picks this year, when they trade away that second round pick in a week or two, we're going to be fucking doing podcasts in fucking March with no draft picks. We'll be previewing the draft. We'll be telling you what pick they're going to pick in the fifth round. So we got questions this week, Dave. We got podcast. Alfredo asks, have you come to terms, Dave, with the fact that you will never see another Saints quarterback as good as Drew Brees in your lifetime?
I haven't come to terms with that. I've had internal discussions with myself. I've had discussions with my son. You know, I've had to tell him, like, look, Dylan, you need to, you know, watch as much of this as possible, because this is, you're being spoiled right now. This is, it's never going to be this good, and it's probably going to be really bad actually for a really long time before good again.
I feel like that's the good advantage you guys have, because you have young sons, but they're old enough to watch the Saints and enjoy it and get into it. My son is too young for that, and he's going to miss the Saints' window of being awesome, so I can't brainwash him and get him addicted to the Saints. And it's the same thing with the Astros. Like, the Astros, they might fucking win another World Series. They might win two or three in the next 5 years, and he's not going to be old enough to appreciate it. So you miss the window to brainwash him, which that's why I'm jealous of you guys. You get to hook them to be Saints fans for life, you know?
Yeah, no, it's nice. It's nice to have. Hopefully. I mean, that's the longevity of Brees again, man. Like, you got to realize, like, when the Saints won the Super Bowl, my kid wasn't born yet. He was not born, and now he's 8 years old, and he's very cognizant of what a beast Drew Brees is, because he's a huge Saints fan now. He watches all the games, and he sees Brees every Sunday play like this, and so, like, You got to think about, like, people that weren't born when Brees won a Super Bowl are still very cognizant of his greatness. And it goes back to his longevity. It's unbelievable.
Yeah. Chris asks, when will I get my laminated certificate for being a Saints Happy Hour podcast patron? Well, Chris, we might have Dave cook something up.
Yeah, I think my mother-in-law has the lamination.
Does he have the magnet yet?
Well, if he donates $3.28 a month, he can get the magnet. But I like the idea of a laminated certificate saying you are a patron. We might have to cut up. Jonathan asks, Andrew, when does Breeze break the TD
out on
record?
Matrix printers.
What's that, Ralph?
The TD record. When's Brees going to break the TD record?
What is the TD record?
He needs a bunch more for that.
Yeah.
I thought it was only 50, but it's a lot.
Yeah, I mean, I don't think it's impossible that Breeze retires after the season. I think if the Saints win the Super Bowl,
no, it's 539. It's 539. So he could get there next year.
Yeah,
and he's at 499 now. So
I mean, here's the thing. You know, if he starts getting close, that Sean Payton's going to get reckless with him. he will call the plays necessary for Breeze to start padding stats. He's always been that way. He has always done that. Do you remember games like in Week 17 where Mark Ingram needs 78 yards or Marcus Colston needs six catches to do this, and it always happens. It always happens. So,
by the way, players love that.
Payton pays attention to that stuff, and they go for it. So if players starts to get close, they'll throw every play if they have to.
So he needs 40. He needs 40 touchdowns. He has 11. So he'd have to get to 51 touchdowns, which wouldn't quite be the NFL record, but it would be really fucking close. I think the record is 54.
I mean, what's crazy though is that out of the top 10 leaders in most touchdown passes in NFL history, only three of them are Hall of Famers because the rest of them are still playing, with the exception of Peyton Manning. But you've got Tom Brady, Drew Brees, Philip Rivers, Eli Manning, Ben Roethlisberger, and Aaron Rodgers. All of those guys are already in the top 10. Most touchdown passes in their career.
If I'm Drew Brees, though, like why am I even considering retirement? I mean, I get that, like, he has a family and he just may be burnt out mentally, and I don't think he is, but like I just think you look at these five games that he's played, and his completion percentage is almost 80. He leads the league in rating at 122.3. He's the only starter in the entire league that has not thrown a pick yet this year. And I mean, he's the front runner for MVP in my opinion. I mean, Mahomes, is kind of the darling, media darling right now, but I mean, I think if they were to pick an MVP right now, I think Breeze would get it. Through
zero
five games,
interceptions.
So, yeah. That's right. So, I mean, you look at the way he's playing and like, why wouldn't he play next year? And, I think at his age at 39, it's year to year. But I just like at this level that he's playing, like, can you name a season where he's looked better? Because I can't.
No. And here's the thing, right? He's going to get paid $25 million next year. So, people say, oh, the Saints can win the Super Bowl and he can ride off in the sunset. I'm not sure that Drew Brees, like, when he retires, yeah, he's got all his business interests, but I don't think, like, networks are going to be clamoring for him to be, like, a color commentator and pay him $10 million a year. So I just don't, like, I don't know that he's going to walk away from $25 million, but we'll see. I mean, they have Bridgewater waiting, but my God, they have some bad quarterbacking. And Andrew, I watched Sunday, and I was like, the Giants need a quarterback. Jacksonville needs a quarterback.
When you look at Jacksonville especially, man, that's the one thing holding him back.
I mean, Jacksonville, they should consider calling up Loomis right now and getting Bridgewater. That's how bad fucking Bortles is. But that about wraps it up. So my final question to you is, Dave, and you can go first. Saints are 4-1. How do you feel about things heading into the bye?
I feel fucking amazing. How the hell else do I feel? Are you kidding me? This is as good as I could have possibly imagined it would be at this point in this season.
Is there anything that concerns you most?
I don't know. Taysom Hill not getting enough touchdowns?
And here's a question that I just thought of. I wish I would have thought of it sooner, and I could have asked you guys sooner before the show so you could think on it. But I'll go first so you guys can think of your answer. Who is a guy that if I told you they can be awesome after the bye who hasn't really been great yet? I'm not going to pick Marcus Davenport because that's the obvious answer. But I'm going to say if they can have another linebacker besides DeMario Davis be really good and just have, even if it's just like a one-hit wonder or it's a career year or whatever the fuck it is, if they could just have one other linebacker, whether it's Craig Robertson or Anzalone, if they can have another linebacker.
God, so offensive. So offensive.
If they can have another linebacker be good,
my favorite their part defense about that is can, how much Dave hates it.
I know. if they can have another linebacker be very good, this defense can kick ass. So Andrew, who is a player that you want to be very good after the bye?
Marshawn Lattimore. And I think he's played pretty poorly through 5 weeks. I don't think he's been at his normal level. I think he's picked it up a little bit after the first few games. I think the matchup against the Redskins and I think their matchup against the Ravens in a couple weeks, it's not critical to have him. They can win without him because those are two teams where I don't think they have very scary receivers. But I think at this point at 4-1 in first place, I think it's okay to set the sights for Drew Brees getting the MVP. And it's okay to set the sights for this team winning a Super Bowl because they're capable of that. But in order for them to do that, they're going to have to beat teams like the Rams and the Vikings and the Eagles. And, you know, a lot of teams are going to step up and the Saints are going to have to be up to the task. And they can get away with beating teams like the Redskins and the Ravens who don't have great receivers without Lattimore. But eventually, they're going to need a lockdown, shutdown, Revis type corner. And he's going to have to get healthy and he's going to have to get up to that level because they're going to need him. And ultimately, you know, all these goals that we're talking about and all the success that we want this team to have, it has to go through having a lockdown elite corner. So he's not playing at that level yet. We saw him do it last year. I believe that he can, but he's going to have to get healthy first from the concussion. And then from there, he's going to have to improve. So if there's one guy that I can pick, it'd be him.
Dave, one guy you can pick to be great after the bye.
I didn't know I was getting this question. I would have been thinking about my answer already. not Marcus Davenport. I'm going to say
I think we all three of us feel great about the offense. So like, yeah, none of us are going to pick the offense because we feel like that's like on the rails and it's a train that's going to keep moving.
Yeah,
it's got to be a defensive player, right?
Yeah, I mean.
Or would you pick Will Lutz?
No, yeah. I wouldn't pick Will Lutz. I mean, I think he's fine. I mean, you know, he looked a little shaky last week, but.
You could say 16. Hell. I thought that my second choice was going to be just give me 16 starts from Armstead. That was going to be my other pick besides the linebacker.
Yeah, that's a good. Like that. That is a really good one. I'll say, let's say like Sheldon Rankins. Like, let's pick somebody on the middle that like could really, you know, disrupt the middle of the pocket. That could really
bode well. I like that answer.
Yeah, that could really bode well for our defense for sure. That would be a game changer. Yeah. If you're getting pressure from the middle and the edge.
Yeah, so that's a good way to wrap it up. Remember,
if you had said Onyemata, I think Ralph would have fainted.
I mean, I'm getting frustrated with Onyemata. They need to get him off of special teams. He's driving me up a fucking wall. But I'm still president of the Onyemata fan club. But it's getting tense. So people, become a patron. You get all the extra shows. You get message board guy. You get hate clowning Atlanta. You get all the fun stuff. So become a patron. We get to hate watch the rest of the NFC South this week. So that'll be fun.
Who do the Panthers play?
I don't know. Atlanta plays Tampa, I believe.
Hey, Max Kellerman. Hey, Chris Sims. Hey, all you idiots on Twitter, stop hating on Drew Brees. He's the greatest ever. Look at the stats. Look at 2012. Look at 2015. Look at the defenses he played with. Don't ever tell me Bart Starr is better ever again. Ever.
Man, if it ain't HD, it ain't real. I don't want to hear about these non-HD fucking quarterbacks. So for Dave, for Andrew, I'm Ralph. Until next week, the bar is closed.